my friends, as I look around, I recognize that this topic that I've chosen for the sermon today may be a challenging one for us. Fasting maybe in our culture is perhaps the hardest spiritual discipline. And I often start my sermons with a quote from a popular philosopher or a book that I've read or something. Today I'm going to start with a Garfield cartoon. So Garfield is lying there and he's looking at his hamburger saying, "Just what is a diet?" Now, if you want to, you could put fast, what is a fast, every time you see the word diet in this cartoon. Just what is a diet? A diet is self-denial. Fortunately, I'm such a swell fellow, I haven't the heart to deny myself anything. Now, I think that Jim Davis in this cartoon has actually captured the very essence of consumerism. The very essence of consumerism, which is all about comfort and convenience. Fortunately, I'm such a nice guy that I don't have the heart to deny myself anything. That's kind of the baseline, I reckon, of our culture. Everything that we want, we should be able to have. That's what the advertisers and the marketers tell us. That's how they sell a lot of stuff. And Garfield has really nailed it here. This, though, is a far cry from Jesus' words to his followers when he says, "If anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Now, to me, that's the exact opposite of consumerism, what Jesus is saying. The life of following Jesus is a life of self-denial. It's a life of choosing the harder path, not the easy option. It's a life where we actually do, we are asked to deny ourselves and do something that's not necessarily comfortable. A disciple is not only one who learns from his teacher. So as disciples, as followers of Jesus, we're not only people who learn from Jesus, but we are also people who engage in the disciplines. And throughout Christian history, in fact, throughout the history of most religions in the world, fasting or abstaining from something good in order to pursue something better, particularly food, has been a common practice. Now, there's some risks, I believe, in me preaching a sermon on fasting. There's some significant risks here. And if you open your Bible to Luke and hopefully I can remember where this is because I haven't put the full reference in there. Actually, don't worry about opening the Bible. I'm going to do it from memory for this one. Becoming like a Pharisee. There's a story that Jesus tells of a religious guy, right? A guy called a Pharisee. Now, he was one of the good guys in Jewish culture. He was the one who was holy and who actually was looked up to by other people as kind of the epitome of what it meant to be religious. And this Pharisee goes to the temple and he says, "Lord, thank you that I'm not like other people. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Aren't I good?" is basically what he's saying. One of the risks in teaching God's people about fasting is that we might become like Pharisees. That we might go, "Actually, look at me. I am so holy. I'm so super spiro because I fast. And all those other slack Christians around me, they're just not as good because they don't fast." Okay, so that's one of the risks. We need to keep that in mind. The first risk that I've put up there is irrelevance. And that is, right now you might be thinking, what planet is Pastor Nathan on? Why on earth would he be preaching a sermon about fasting? What has this got to do with my daily life? Perhaps we've never done it before, or perhaps it's difficult. So what relevance does it really have to daily Christian living? If our African brothers and sisters were here, they would tell us in no uncertain terms about the importance of fasting for our spiritual life, about how it helps to sharpen our prayer, focus our worship, and help us to clarify and to hear the voice of God. In a consumerist culture, fasting is probably one of the hardest disciplines, and it would sometimes seem irrelevant to us. Why the heck should I give up something as good as food? Why? Hopefully, I'll be able to address that risk in this sermon. The biggest risk, though, is that with all those potential bad reasons, is that we actually become hearers and not doers of the word. Jesus simply assumed that his people would fast. He took it for granted that that would be part of their normal Christian discipline. The biggest risk is that we, through uncomfortableness or whatever it might be, we miss out on the good things that God has for us as we follow a life of discipline, as we deny ourselves and follow Jesus. If you turn to the Bible passage that I read earlier, that's Matthew chapter 6. That's on page 970. If we look down at verse 16 in Matthew chapter 6. Thank you, Stephen. What does Jesus say? He doesn't say if. He doesn't say if you fast. He says when you fast. He presumes that his disciples will engage in this discipline, that it will be a normal part of their Christian living. What is fasting? Fasting is basically giving up something good in order to pursue something better. And so there are multiple things that we could fast from in our lives. Can I get some suggestions from people about what are some of the things, apart from food, that we might fast from? Stephen?
Video games.
Video games? Yep. Technology? Absolutely. Other ideas? Shopping? So, yep, break that kind of consumerism pattern. Yep.
The car.
Jess, you're having an interesting experience with that right now, aren't you? Fasting from our vehicle-oriented culture. Yep.
I can't live a whole life without a car.
That's... Felicity has just put her finger on why it's so hard to fast from things, because you go, I cannot possibly live without that thing. Today, I'm going to concentrate particularly on food. And I'm actually going to hand over to Yvette at this point and invite her to just share briefly with us what her recent experience and learning about fasting has been.
Okay. It's not something I've ever done before. It's not that I thought it was a holy and now thing to do or whatever, but it was when challenged with the thought, yeah, but I don't have to keep being Christian. It's not a have to, and I'm against. I grew up in a very law-oriented, rules-following kind of church, and so I didn't want to follow someone's rules. But then, I guess it's just, I've been learning lots about mindfulness and all those other things. So, the 5-2 diet, where you fast 2 days and you eat normal for the others. That's kind of thing. I'm thinking, well, what is fasting in a Christian perspective then? So I thought I'd give it a try. And it's, first of all, it just taught me that I have a lot more control over myself physically than I thought. And at first, it was only, I really only noticed physical things, like the hunger pains and growls that you get, they go away if you ignore them. But then I started to also, then once I finished playing around with what happens physically, then I thought more about what I was doing with that time spiritually, and using those hunger cues, what we call hunger cues, to then sit down and meditate, or look over the passages, Bible passages, or the things that were on my heart that I know I can't control, but I'd really like to, and then let God control them, and just let God talk to me, think about those things. And it's made a very big difference in my amount of stress that I hold, that things that aren't, I can't really control, then I can let them go. So in a way, it's the way God's made us, I think, to allow ourselves to hold back on some things in order to listen to other things in our life. And because we belong to God, then we connect spiritually with it. Fair enough?
Excellent. That is wonderful. I didn't cue her up very much for that. I just asked her yesterday if she'd be willing to share some of that. So one of the things Yvette said is very important. We must not make fasting a law. It's not a new law for Christians. It's not something that we have to do. And yet, Jesus calls his disciples into this way of discipline, and it's actually good for us. On the second side of your sermon handout, I want to tell you, the second half, the gospel that empowers our fasting. Again, it's not a legalism. It's not something that we have to do to get right with God. And Isaiah, the passage that Nick read, taught very much about how to misuse it, to say, hey, God, we've been doing this. Isn't that awesome? You should be listening to us. So not to manipulate God. First of all, Jesus fasted for us. Jesus went into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I cannot imagine that. I can't imagine what was actually physically happening in his body at that time. But the reason that he did that was so that he could overcome the power of the devil and so that he could set us free. Fasting helps to set us free from our idolatries, from the things that control us. Like Felicity said, it's impossible to live without a car. There's no way I could live without my video games. There's no way I could live without eating. There's no way I could live without my mobile phone or whatever it might be. Those things actually then tend to control us. But fasting is actually a powerful discipline to help set us free from our idolatries. And in my own experience with fasting, it very quickly brings to mind the things that I would like to control or the things that control me very quickly. Probably the quickest way to find out what's really controlling me. It's about denying self, taking up the cross and following Jesus. So why should we fast? I've got a few points here. First of all, it's not to win God's favor or impress others. Jesus makes that very clear in the Matthew passage. It's basically to focus on God, to help us to walk with Jesus, to deny ourselves and follow him. Like Yvette said, fasting can give time for prayer. And particularly if we give up a particular meal, we can use that as prayer time. It sharpens our listening to God and it sharpens and focuses our worship. And it breaks the power of our cravings. I really do think that fasting is the quickest way to identify what it is that controls us if it's not God. And finally, we should fast, or we can fast, because Jesus assumed that we would fast and taught us how to. As we look at the Bible, we find some really powerful biblical reasons for fasting. I'm not going to go into each of these passages in depth, but you're welcome to look them up later. In the book of Joel in the Old Testament, there's a massive drought and a cloud of locusts, as well as the drought, has moved across the entire country and is decimating the crops. It's a major national tragedy. And the prophet Joel calls the people to fast and pray, to pray for God to pour out his blessings on the land again in the form of rain, to pray for God to take away the locusts that are destroying the crops. So one really good reason to fast biblically is if a great tragedy is unfolding. A second reason is repentance. And in the book of Jonah, you know that book, right? You know how Jonah gets swallowed by the fish and spat up on the beach and all that kind of thing. But then he goes and does what God wanted him to do, and he goes to Nineveh. And he walks through the city and he says, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the king of Nineveh, this pagan guy, calls the entire populace to fast. He says no one is going to eat or drink anything for 3 days. Not even the animals are allowed to eat or drink for 3 days. We're going to put on sackcloth and ashes. We're going to repent of our sin, and we're going to cry out to God to save our city. And God actually does save the city, which makes Jonah very cross with God, but that's another story. So repentance. If we are caught in sin, fasting is a powerful way to be set free. Spiritual warfare. You know, as Jesus goes into the wilderness, he's actually sent out by God's Holy Spirit. But there he encounters the devil. And the devil's temptations are not easy ones. But Jesus, through his 40 days of fasting, has learned to be completely dependent on his Heavenly Father. And I believe that's what gives him the spiritual strength to say no to the temptations of the devil. So spiritual warfare is an important time to fast. Also in Mark 9, verse 29, if you look that up, you'll find a little footnote where Jesus drives out a demon and his disciples say, why couldn't we drive that out? And Jesus says, this kind can come out only by prayer, but some translations, some manuscripts, this kind can come out only by prayer and fasting. And finally, before starting a great endeavor for God or stepping out in faith is a really good time to fast. And we're actually going to have a quick look at that one because we've looked at it before. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. That's on page 1105. Acts 13, verse 1 to 3. Sheila, have you found that? Nope. Page 1105. Okay, thanks, Jess.
Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with the Herod, the
Tetrarch,
and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off.
This is the start of Paul's missionary journeys. Paul, who becomes the greatest evangelist in history, probably, the one who wrote so many of our letters in the New Testament, he is sent off by the people in a step of faith with prayer and fasting. So a great endeavor for God or stepping out in faith is a really good reason to fast. Now I want to ask, why now? Why might God be calling our church community to fast now? See if you can recognize any of these things from the biblical reasons. A great endeavor for God. Our church, our congregation here is in a place where we need to grow. We need to see new people coming to faith in Jesus. Also, small as it is, this community of God's people is on the front edge of the church planting movement in the Lutheran Church of Australia. We are called to engage in a great endeavor for God. We are called to be part of something much bigger than ourselves, which requires a massive step of faith to step out and believe that God can do something that looks humanly impossible. Hopefully, when our church grows, I say when because I believe that God wants it to, we can then also become a sending church and plant a church down the track, perhaps in Cranbourne, which is right now the fastest growing urban area in Australia. So we're on the edge of a great endeavor for God. We have many lost people in our city. We have many people who don't know Jesus and who don't follow him. And to me, that's the greatest tragedy of all. That's a national tragedy. And so it would be good for us to fast and to seek God's will for those people that he loves so much. To sharpen our prayer and worship. In the last few sermons, in the sermon series, we've been talking about listening to the voice of God and learning to worship God. And fasting is a really good way to help us sharpen that up. And finally, spiritual warfare. As I said, we're on the forefront of a church planting movement in the Lutheran Church of Australia. And the devil does not like his turf being challenged. And myself and many other leaders within the church, many other people that have been involved in the church plant, know that the spiritual warfare here has been intense. It's been full on. And so, if the devil is at work, then perhaps we can join Jesus in prayer and fasting for victory in the spiritual realm. Okay, I've just got a couple more points that I want to go into here. Practical steps in learning how to fast. These are on your sheet as well. If you have never fasted before in a Christian sense, then start gently. I encourage you to start gently. Drink plenty of water. If you do a 12-hour fast, that is actually breakfast until dinner. So you skip lunch and all the little snacky bits that come in between breakfast and dinner. Yes, those two. And that's a 12-hour fast. And that's a really good way to start to learn both how your body responds and spiritually to learn what God wants you to do with that time. An 18-hour fast is skipping dinner. So you go from lunch to breakfast. And that's about 18 hours. Once again, no little snacky bits in between, but plenty of water. As Yvette said, the hunger pangs don't control you. And this is possibly one of the most important things that we learn very early on in our fasting. They go away. If you push through them after about half an hour, that really growly feeling in your tummy, that feeling of, if I don't eat right now, I feel like I'm starving, actually subsides. It actually goes away. And you can use them anyway as a prompt for prayer. Like I said, we cannot dare to make fasting a new law. There is no way that I will say to you, you should fast. Or if you don't fast, you're not a good Christian. Or if you don't fast, you can't be connected to this church. Absolutely not. Jesus is the one who wins God favor for us. We don't need to do something to win it. However, I encourage you, I urge you as brothers and sisters in Christ, to take up this discipline of denying oneself and following Jesus. And as we pray, as we fast, I encourage you to pray for these things. Pray for harvest workers. In Luke 10, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray for evangelists and pastors and church planters and just friends who will introduce people to Jesus. Pray for those who don't yet know Jesus. Let those hunger pangs direct you in prayer for your friends, your family members, your workmates who don't yet know the hope and the life that Jesus gives. Pray for the victory of Jesus in spiritual warfare. Pray for protection. Pray for the banishing of the devil. Pray for wholehearted worship that we might really listen to the voice of God. And this one is important. Pray for God to grow our church, and not only our church, but his kingdom in Pakenham and across the city of Melbourne and Victoria and Australia. God is the only one who can give growth to a church. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to 7, Paul writes, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God gave the growth. And as I was praying recently, I was engaging in that listening prayer kind of thing. So this is what I think I heard God saying. I think the conversation went something like this. I said, God, why is our church not growing? And he said, you haven't asked. And I went, oh, okay, I will then. And I am. And that's one of the things that I encourage you to pray for as well. Just what is a fast? A fast is self-denial. Hopefully, we can be people who have such good hearts that we can deny ourselves something good in order to seek for something greater. The will of God for this church, for this town, for this city, and for our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.